CEB-021023, is in compliance as of 3-2-2010. Case number 10, CEB-021025, Blondell M. Ezel.
Compliance, 3-8.
Okay. Oh.
Yes, ma'am.
Case number 11, CEB-021027, Candace K. Grindstaff. Progress report and compliance data set for April 1st. Did she provide anything, Mark?
If you all recall, Dr. Bannerman and Ms. Himes both kind of meant that she understand. I've not heard anything, and there's no permits. She's not gotten with me at all, so I'm going to leave it as our April 1st compliance date.
Okay.
Progress report.
Case number 12, CEB-021029, Anthony Marone.
If the board recalls last meeting, he was working on this. I've gone downstairs and inquired about his license that is on hold for his rental license. And the rental license is on hold because he is dragging his feet and not getting the items repaired that he is supposed to have for his license. The fact that he is not here today indicates to me that that is still probably the case. So the city is going to ask for the one-time administrative fee of $250 to be imposed. And the other item I will show in compliance for parking in the yard because he has stopped that situation.
Okay. What was the date, Mark?
The date was 3-8-10 that would be in compliance for the parking in the yard. And the date of that date, same. I have not seen any progress on his rental license and inquired yesterday personally with the secretary.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion, finding respondent in noncompliance and imposing a one-time administrative fee of $250.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Bourne, second by Mrs. Himes. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign?
No.
Case number 13, CEB-021030, Richard M. Matt.
The representative, the property manager that showed last time called me. He had a death in the family and he had to leave the state. He did, I have done a reinspection. He is making good progress and I would like to amend to the next cutoff based upon that. And the remaining issues are basically some internal electrical issues where he's got to replace some outlets and stuff that are out of service.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until April 1st, 2010 to come into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Bowen. Is there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number 14, CEB-021032, Ajit Dadani, I will assume that is.
I would like to amend this one. They have had an inspection. It failed, and I'd like to give them the opportunity to...
April 1st?
Yes, in fact.
April 1st?
Yeah, next call.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until April 1st to come into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time administrative fee of $250.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Bourne's. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. New cases. Case number 15, CEB-031040. I guess it's Elizaveta and Valentin Rachinka. Rachinko.
That's compliance, 3-7.
Okay. Case number 16, CEB-031041, S&R at Georgetown Lake Limited.
That property is in compliance as of 2-9. However, Ms. Garcia would like to ask for a will find on this property.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent previously in non-compliance but now in compliance and imposing a will find on the property. And finding the respondent up to $5,000 per occurrence. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Bourne's. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Is that not correct?
I'm just not sure we had testimony for the non-compliant.
Yeah.
Just said he was in compliance, but I don't think we heard testimony about the previous non-compliance.
Oh, the previous non-compliances were... Yeah, there are pictures in there for 1600 Big Tree. These are signs along Big Tree and Clyde Morris that have been there numerous times. I've taken signs there from that location myself. Mr. Garcia, a couple other code inspectors have also taken very large signs from those locations.
I think we saw this one, didn't we? I think we've seen this one, or was there another case that was very similar?
Yeah. You may have seen this one.
Yeah.
This particular one.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's only the first time.
Do we need a finding of non-compliance?
If I'm non-compliance and dismissal, that would be enough of a dual finding.
And I did state we found him previously in non-compliance, and now he's currently compliant.
I guess the I think Amy bring this up because we talked about it, looking at yours. You have to start at least with a finding of non-compliance.
Okay.
This is first time on, so they haven't
Had
a finding of non-compliance.
Okay. He did in his motion that there wasn't any testimony regarding.
Do we need to amend?
Was there non-compliance at one time?
Yes, it was.
What was the basis of non-compliance?
The signs on the right of way.
Okay. That's the whole. If you make a motion, it wasn't non-compliance at one time. In this case, and it's now compliance, that case would be dismissed.
Yeah. Basically,
my concern is just that you want an actual finding of non-compliance. So, if we say merely that it was once in non-compliance,
that's finding non-compliance.
I guess
it was in the particular case. He was in non-compliance.
Okay, correct. And now he's in compliance.
Not yet.
Okay,
and that's the way I stated it. And found previously in non-compliance.
Yeah.
Plenty. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And you opposed, same sign. We disposed of case number 17 previously. Case number 18 is in compliance as of February 16, 2010. Case number 19. CEB 031044, Robert L. Honeycutt Jr. and Pamela S. Honeycutt.
This is a case where the property needed to be posted.
Okay.
We didn't need the signature. I'm just still trying to make sure I didn't get one after this. But I have not received an affidavit of posting from the inspector, so we'll need to continue this notice issues until the next.
Are these two separate properties that are in one case?
There are two separate addresses on different things. It's the same property, but on one, it's on some paperwork it's listed as 160 South Hollywood, and other information is listed as 319 Fifth Avenue. So I think to make sure that all the bases were covered, we listed both.
So basically, we're just going to amend until the next cutoff.
I think we just need a basic continuance for
correct.
So the continuation of non-compliance or compliance until the next meeting, in order to allow a new notice of hearing violation of
it. Okay, we can't continue with non-compliance or compliance.
Send out a
post. If we don't have proper notice, we can't hear it.
Don't send the same thing.
Yes.
Here's the advantage.
So we're just going to amend our order and allow the respondent and, just continue the case until our next meeting, which is...
Not amend the order, because you don't have an order.
Just continue.
Just continue.
Continue until April 8th.
And we'll make sure Mike does it.
Okay.
I just don't have an affidavit.
Chairs would entertain a motion continuing the case until our April 8th, 2010 meeting.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Borns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 20, CEB 031045, John M. Cicero.
Noncompliance, next cutoff.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in noncompliance. And allowing the respondent until April 1st, 2010, to come into compliance, will be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Bourne, second by Mr. Brown. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number 21, CEB 031046, Francis Severac.
Compliance.
What's the date?
Good day.
But it is in compliance.
It's in compliance.
Okay.
3810.
We have disposed of case number 22. Case number 23, CEB 031048, Dennis Napier.
Or withdrawn.
Withdrawn. Case has been withdrawn by the inspector. Do we need a reason? Just withdraw.
No, it's only in the in our jurisdiction.
Okay. Case number 24, CEB 031049, Daytona Ocean Sands, LLC.
Yes, sir. I am pretty surprised that the owner of this one didn't show up. It's another one of those large cases. I know we're here for a determination of a compliance and non-compliance, but this one was inspected 7/24. Came from police complaints, internet complaints, public complaints. The price compared to the other one is...
Just for the record, 7/24 can't be the correct date. We need to change that date.
What? Pardon?
First notified.
It's not
here.
7/24.
7/24.
09. 210.
Okay.
Yes. The date notification is 7/24/2009, just for the record.
They're just working super fast.
Yes.
Is this an occupied dwelling?
This is a old resort on the beachfront, very close to my other issue.
And their rent?
Oh, yes. Anyway, numerous police complaints. In fact, I believe that's the same one they had the murder on not too long ago.
On the side last week.
Yes. So this place is, needs a lot of attention. Okay. I've given the man or the gentleman a lot of time to come up with compliance for blocked aisles, broken windows. The place is a mess. So anyway... the notice of violation NOV1 was January 22. I've had numerous inspections. Took him to 2-3 for code board, and then now we have a CEB2. Green card received, 2-4. The only thing that's been done with this place is the hallways have been cleared out, the aisles for the fire safety. And when I did my inspection on the 13th, the fire pull alarms are required by fire. And they were so rusted, I kept telling him, you've got to replace all of these. He replaced maybe two. So I'm standing there gripping one really hard, and all of a sudden, it finally snaps. And for my own edification, the system does work. But it takes almost a hammer to make them work. They're rusted. They're shot. He still has plexiglass on the windows. He still has some washer and dryer storages in the hallways. It's still a mess. So... I would like to see non-compliance next cutoff, but as soon as next cutoff comes, he needs to start working on it hard.
Okay, that sounds almost not reasonable then.
Steve. Well,
are we going to allow him until the next cutoff, or are we going to allow him until maybe May?
Just trying to get him in here.
Yeah. Also, I'm waiting for Mr. Newell to go back here in the next few days. Mr. Newell is going to do another fire inspection, which is going to support my determination of the hazard, and I'd like to have his report with it as well.
So are we going to require the respondent to appear at our April 8th meeting and set a compliance date at that point, or are we going to set the compliance date today?
I would like to see a compliance 30 days, personally. I just don't see it happening. He has storm fire doors, alarm systems, the whole shot.
Set a compliance date of April 1st and require that he appear at the meeting on April 8th?
I told him on the 13th he needed to be here, but yes.
Okay. All right. Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in noncompliance and requiring respondent to appear at our April 8, 2010 meeting and allowing the respondent until April 1, 2010 to come into compliance be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Bloom.
We did have an error in our notice as far as the date of first notification. We wanted to amend that.
Okay.
And since we don't have another party here, so we'd like to just move to amend that notice as well.
Okay.
Just show July 24th, 2009.
Mr. Brown, would you consider amending your motion to note that the first date of notification was an error on the record? It was reflected as 7/24/2010, but it should reflect the accurate date of 7/24/2009.
Accepted as a friendly amendment.
Okay. Second.
Okay. Are there any questions by any members of the board?
This is not being rented, right?
Pardon?
No one is living.
Yes. Oh, yes. It is occupied. It's a motel. Yes.
It is. Could I ask why we have not put a fine?
He will have to achieve compliance by April 1st. Then at our April 8th meeting, we can consider a fine. But right now, it's just a determination of compliance, not compliance.
Right.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign.
Thank you.
Okay. Case number 25, CEB031050, Ryder Associates and GEJEL Management Incorporated. It's 1398 North Atlantic Avenue.
Compliance 3-3.
Three,
three.
What?
Three.
We have disposed of case number 26. Case number 27 is in compliance as of February 16, 2010. Case number 28, CEB031053, Kenneth Cervini, or for University Boulevard.
Compliance 3-2.
Steve, you're smoking today.
Oh, thank you. I saved the good ones for you.
We also disposed of case number 29. Case number 30. CEB031055, Scott Wade, 614 Florence Street.
Compliance 3-8.
Wow. Thanks, John. Case number 31, CEB031056, Maria L. Fajaramillo, or Mio.
Compliance 3-10.
You guys are cooking. What was the date again, John?
3-10.
Case number 32, CEB031057, David Walker, 147 Kingston Ave.
Compliance 3-5.
Case number 33, CEB031058, David Mayhew, age 65, Winchester Street. Don't stop your streak now, John.
Sorry. This one is non-compliant and next cutoff.
Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in noncompliance and allowing the respondent until April 1st, 2010 to come into compliance and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Bourne, second by Mr. Brown. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. We have also disposed of case number 34.
Number 5.
Thank you.
What staff recommend?
The issue of leave use coming back to us.
Oh, I was referencing lien review by.
We do need to take action on number 5.
We skipped over until
correct.
That other time.
We kind of pushed it back in there.
We didn't take any action. And
right.
Okay.
Lien review number 5, that's one that we asked to.
Right.
Push it back on the agenda so that it will give the respondent an opportunity to come in.
Mr. Chair, was that the two ladies that were sitting right there?
No, that was one of my cases.
Okay. Lien review number five is case number CEB020842, 1300 3rd Street, Natalie James.
Well, there's nobody here, so I don't guess there's anything to review.
Would any member of the board like to suggest any action, or just leave the lien as it is?
Well, any recommendations from staff, or
not really? Without talking with the owner, I don't really have any recommendations.
Also, there's been no conversation.
I have never spoken to her, and she's not here now.
Amy, did she contact you?
Yes.
What does she want?
Basically, the circumstances are she has obtained the property through several subsequent purchasers. This case has come before the board before, in addition to a request for a partial release by the previous owner, Mr. Spearin. She now owns the property. Basically, the long story short, it's a foreclosed property. We were not included in the foreclosure. Therefore, our lien is still valid and out there. So we should have been included in the foreclosure because our lien beat the lieutenant. So it's been, you know, through several, from foreclosure to subsequent purchaser, Mr. Spearin, to another business, and then Ms. James now has it. So.
And just as a reminder, and I think that Amy spoke on that kind of number as well. As a reminder, this is one where Mrs. Spearin actually, I think he's come twice. He came first,
yes.
And he was,
yes.
Frustrated with the outcome, and he came the second time, and I don't remember what happened. I think with no official action.
Right.
But he was able to, or at least this person was able to obtain it as is with the lien still in place. And that this new owner now was coming to cease on her own accord.
My question is, so did she have notice of this lien when she purchased the property?
That I don't know.
That's what I was going to ask as well.
Okay, and we won't know unless we ask her.
I'm not really sure in our conversation. I knew of the situation because it was a previous case. I was aware of circumstances regarding the validity of our lien. And there was proof that she was the new owner, you know, just by deed. She obtained it from Greenway Properties, LLC. So I don't know the circumstances on how she obtained it, or, you know, whether it was something that a title survived. I don't know that.
We don't have anything that will prevent her from refiling and coming back.
Okay.
Obviously, you are going to consider, you know, having on this event, but there's nothing that will prevent her from refiling.
Mm-hmm. There's a real problem considering her request for her not being here.
Right.
And, you know, based on maybe seriously testimony.
So would it be tabled or just?
Yeah, she could look back at the next.
So we just would. Okay.
I have a phone number for her. I will call her later.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think this is the young lady that rescued the dog.
Yes.
Yeah. Mr. Chair,
I have a real problem with this. The reduced fine was not paid, so we're back to the original fine. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
And I would say this. There's no way that this property has been through repeated sales without having title searches,
right.
So that this lady has to know about the lien, and if she doesn't, then I mean that's her problem. If this thing comes up again, we're back to the original lien, and I'll be darned if I would agree to $1,500. I'd want to increase it to at least $2,500.
Actually, the lien was reduced to $2,500 for Mr. Spearin.
It was $2,500. I would want to see it increased.
If right now there's nothing out there.
There's nothing here. They've already had one bite at the apple, and it just doesn't make sense to take up the time of this board. She has to pay it or make arrangements.
I was hoping to have the opportunity to find out if there was an appropriate disclosure, and also if there was a title search.
Because sometimes there don't be the disclosures.
Well, she knew or should have known in the exercise of due caution. I mean, there's no excuse for not knowing, but as far as I'm concerned.
Will we be safe if we just tabled it and gave her a chance to respond?
Well, do we need to take any action at all?
I don't think we have to take any action.
She just wants to show up. If she shows up, then we can hear her.
Okay.
So make a motion to...
We can deny it. You have the option to.
Yeah, just deny it.
We're satisfied with the direction of the board. The board's direction is to just hold it in and see if she desires to be treated
I
would presume it would be not, would not be on the agenda next meeting unless she makes contact and indicates it.
Yeah, okay.
Is well, that appropriate to...
We take a deny without prejudice. We should also give it back any time.
At the same time.
We'll do it with prejudice and she can't give it back.
Because I was thinking we can allow her up to 60 days to take action to bring it back or not, and if she doesn't bring it back within 60 days, the fine stands.
The fine stands anyway.
Right.
Right.
But that would bar her from any opportunity to come bring it back. And like Mr. Boren says, it's almost, well, I would say a waste of time. But my question when I first saw it was, why are we seeing this again? But then I wanted to hear it to find if there was a disclosure. And if there have been title searches done. But I'll go under whatever the will of the board is, members of the board.
Well, we just...
I think a simple...
table it, or we just...
I think the motion, she brought it up for lien review. She's not here. I think we I would move to deny the lien review.
Without hearing anything?
Without prejudice. We need to come back again.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Without prejudice, Mr. Warren? With prejudice.
I think it should be with prejudice. She had her opportunity.
We don't know why she's not.
Right. That's what I'm thinking.
Rainy.
Well, it'll fail without a second. There's no second, and then it'll fail. Is there a second? We have a motion.
Well, then let it be without prejudice.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all of the papers say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Thank you. New business, miscellaneous business. There was supposed to be a discussion, I think, Messina, you said, that was supposed to be led by Dr. Bannerman, who's not here. Okay. Is there anything else by any other member of the board or staff that...
Yes, full understanding. I'm puzzled on the case of the motel being occupied. For those type of conditions, maybe I'm not getting it.
The same.
Did you get that?
Can someone explain that to me?
I think you have the authority under the 162 to want to.
That's at the motel. That'll be vacated.
Yeah,
if they don't vacate, that's their decision. But at least we have the authority in this kind of situation. And of course, it's too late now. But in those situations, come again. We feel it's a health, safety, welfare problem. We can order it to be vacated.
Yeah, that just bothered me because I know we had one similar to that, and we had them. The other thing is Mr. Boone, I understand my motion for the man that takes care of the lady. I mean, he admitted himself he was living in it. And this trail, why can't it just hold the RV out? That was my thing, on that case.
Can I just note something else? Something of that was interesting to me and maybe interesting to you guys. With the lien reviews, I think we made an effort to try and bring some forward, and I guess we brought a couple and brought a couple of the other with the magistrate as well, and between the two cases, for this month we were able to take care of about $1 million on books of liens. I mean, and that was really tremendous because that's kind of what we've been battling with the situation with our liens, that it has this appearance of $1 million in value. We had a lien that was have ranked up to $750,000 in the other meeting, and even these ranked up to about $200,000 to be able to resolve them in a way that makes sense and turn the numbers. Even if, I think when we were kind of questioning, even if we're not able to put them into that posture of take care of it in the next 30 days, it used to be when people were coming for the lien review, they were coming because we're in the middle of a transaction, and so it was very easy to say, okay, fine, 30 days, you have the money. But we probably will have circumstances sometimes where people aren't coming because they're in the middle of a transaction. They're coming because we said, hey, we need to take care of this, and we brought them in. And so at the very least, we'd like to be able to know that we're going to put them at a fixed amount, and that's the locked-in amount. And so our books start reflecting something more consistent with what y'all really intended and not hundreds of thousands of dollars if that wasn't your intent.
Okay.
I'd like to go back to the issue of the vacation of properties that are in the condition of the land. Could you send me or the rest of the board the laws of specific ordinances that relate to our authority to vacate a property?
Well, there's no specific. What it says in Chapter 162 is that the board may take any action necessary or enter any orders to enforce their orders. That's all it says. So what I'm saying is we have the right, if we feel there's a health, safety, or welfare problem, to order that the place be vacated. They don't want to vacate it, that's up to them. The city can take action if they want to. We've done our job.
Right. Distributing your orders is the sanction, which is the fine sanction.
We don't have injunctive relief.
Right, and join or pull them out of there. And so, from the city's perspective, one, when you're making that determination, we'd like that to be based because we'd give you enough information that supports it. But also, from a city's perspective, we're left with, if indeed we take that action, in some circumstances, we have to remedy the circumstance related to all the tenants when we move them on. You know, find alternative placements and so forth. And so that. Yeah. You know, but obviously, if there's a something that the city sees and believes is to that level that we have to intervene, we probably would take emergency action pursuant to our condemnation power, not make it a board issue. But I can't speak specific to this circumstance.
Right, we don't have to speak specific to any case.
Okay. Mr. Brown, do you have any comments? Ms. Himes? Mr. Warnes? Mr. Harrington? Casino? Officer Bates, Sergeant Bailey? Jasper?
I guess the next code workshop was canceled again, so I don't know when they're going to reschedule the next one. So.
Okay. Happy birthday to me?
Yep.
Happy birthday.
Unfortunately, I have to work. Hope everybody have a great month. I'll see you all next month.
Mr. Bolton.